Hi, welcome. I am Dawn with Advanced Life Coaching, and welcome to my podcast, Be Fabulous on Spotify, and I think it's iTunes podcast and Breaker. Also, you can catch my videos at Advanced Life Coaching. That's on YouTube. And please check out my website if you have more information. Or if you'd like to have more information about what I do, advancedlifecoaching.org. And I like to read interesting things and find different stories and articles and see, you know, what's going on with other people. And I just, a couple days ago, read something that was posted, and a teacher was saying that she had a student in her classroom who was pretending to be a cat. And she was a substitute. And obviously she was kind of surprised when she was saying roll call and somebody kept meowing. And in this article, she was saying that she was upset that because she would not go along with this cat persona, the school kind of reprimanded her. And she also said that when another student had said to her, oh, you know, so-and-so's a cat, you know, just meow back or whatever, her comment was, oh, well, where's the litter box? And the student got upset and left. And I was thinking about that. I actually think that was a really clever comment because I think that would be important for a teacher to know, right? And it also brought awareness for the child to know that if you're going to be a cat uses a litter box, right? So I think it kind of helped get the reality back, you know, to the situation. And maybe that's why the child got upset and left the classroom. But that's really not what I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to bring to awareness that this story was very recent because it reminded me of something that happened when I was in the sixth grade. And I've thought about this throughout the years, not real intensely, but it's just a memory that I have. And when I was in the sixth grade, I started a new school, and it was in a small town, and I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. My first day of class, there was a girl in this class who was walking around on all fours barking. And I thought that was interesting. I thought that was interesting. And so I went home and I told my mom about it. And I'm like, Mom, you know, how come this girl's like going around the classroom barking? And the teacher just kind of ignored her, told her to go sit in her seat. You know, the kids really didn't engage with her except for to laugh at her. And I wasn't really sure why she was doing that or what that meant. And I remember my mom, she was a counselor and a social worker and educated in, in education, like school counseling. And I remember her telling me, you know, she's just looking for attention. Interact with her in a positive way when she's not acting like a dog, and just ignore her when she is. And the school that I was at previously, before we moved, I was actually picked on and teased. And my mom brought that to my attention and said, you know, how did you feel when you were teased? How did you feel when people didn't give you a chance or laughed at you? And it didn't feel good. I didn't like it. So I decided I was going to be nice and kind to this girl and befriend her. And I wasn't worried about what other kids said. It didn't even... nobody said anything to me, actually. The one girl who was kind of the bully of the school. At one point, she tried, but that didn't really end well for her. I pushed her into a snowbank. And that was the end of that. We didn't bother each other after that. At least, I mean, we were fine. It was just one of those things where it happened, and then the next day we were, just normal kids in class together. It didn't escalate to anything. But I remember this girl walking around, barking. She'd get really excited too. Like I'd come in the classroom and she'd be so happy to see me, just like your pet dog, She'd be like, barking and stuff. And it took everything I had not to laugh because I didn't want to engage this behavior. And I remember at one time she did that, and I just looked at her and I went, "Go lay down." Like you'd say to your pet, "Go lay down." And she was sitting in her desk, and I walked by her and I said hi. And one time I saw her out in the playground, and I asked if she wanted to play tetherball with me. And whenever she was not acting like a dog, I would speak to her. And it did not take long. Another friend of mine that I had made, she was very, very nice. And I remember she was so talented. Like she played a couple wind instruments. And I remember that about her. And she was in the band or something like that. And anyway, I remember she was so kind, and she came up with this idea, and we would walk. The girl who liked to act like a dog walked the same direction we did. So we started inviting her to walk with us home from school. And as long as she didn't act like a dog, she was welcome to walk with us. Well, pretty soon she stopped acting like a dog. And we went to her house one morning, and I think it was like on a Saturday or Sunday morning. We gave her some clean, pretty clothes, fixed her hair and makeup. She was kind of disheveled, this girl. And she was quite pretty, when we fixed her up. And we complimented her, and we were like, you should do this every day. Spend more time taking care of yourself. You don't need to get negative attention. You have a lot to offer. And this girl was smart. When we got to know her, we realized she was a smart girl. Now, I don't know what was going on at her home. When I first walked in, they had a bunch of like aquariums that had reptiles and stuff in them. Not the pets I choose to have. And I think she had a couple tarantulas or something. So, I mean, that might have had something to do with it. And then my mom pointed out to me all these animals crawl. So maybe she felt like if she crawled or was one of the pets, maybe she would get the attention she was seeking from her parents. I don't know if she had attention from them or not. I'm just speculating at that. But now that I'm older, I can see the correlations, that obviously she lived around a bunch of animals. And I can't remember if she had dogs or cats. I'm thinking maybe she did, but I can't say for sure. And obviously, that was her outlet. That was her way of getting attention. That was her way of connecting. Until this other girl and I started showing her different behavior patterns, until we started treating her, with the respect and dignity that she deserves. And why she didn't believe she deserved it, and she wanted to try and be something she wasn't, I can't answer that. And as a kid, I didn't know enough that I didn't know about the mind that I do now to even really consider any of that. But I look back now, all these years later, and I realize our children are doing the same behaviors. And I don't know if it's for the same reasons or not, but the teacher just had a story about someone wanting to be a cat. And I have a story from back in the early 80s of a classmate who pretended to be a dog. So I don't think that people have changed that much. And when I was speaking to my mom, she said in the last 60 years, mental health really has not changed that much. Although we have new things are more in the open, such as bioneurofeedback, rapid eye movements, hypnosis, you know, different ways to work with the unconscious mind, light, sound therapy. Although we have all these new techniques, and some really aren't that new, they're just being used more frequently now. And they have more science behind them now than what they had before. It seems like mental health is still stuck. It's not really progressing. And me being a hypnotherapist, I feel a lot of it has to do with not getting the right treatment, the right help. For example, back when I was a kid and I befriended this girl, instead of teasing her and mocking her and you know, being part of the problem, I chose to be part of the solution, even though I may not have worded it like that back then. I just knew she deserved better. I knew she didn't deserve to be picked on. She wasn't hurting anybody. She wasn't violent. She wasn't using foul language. She was just seeking attention. And she deserved positive attention over negative. And I think my other friend and I, that's what we showed her. We didn't just tell her that. We showed with our actions. We showed with our kindness, with our effort, with our energy. And sometimes that's all people need. So it makes me think of the story that I just recently read. And it makes me think that's probably more likely the same situation with this child who wants to be a cat. I think you need to go deeper and figure out what's going on in the home. What are they relating to? Why this particular animal? How do they react when they get feedback? You know, when people engaged with the girl that I knew who was crawling around like a dog and they patted her on the head and they just like played around with her, she continued to do it because she was getting positive feedback, reinforcement. When I would only acknowledge her when she was acting like a person, and she wanted to start spending time hanging out with us, she quit acting like a dog and started acting like a person. You know, when she'd come up to me thinking I was going to give her positive feel goods and I told her to go lay down and ignored her, she stopped doing that. Which tells me probably with this little boy, you know, that's why he ran out of the room when the teacher asked where the litter box was, because he wasn't getting the response he wanted. He wasn't getting the reaction he was looking for. And sometimes when you change the way you treat somebody, as long as you're not hurting them or being negative, you can help them change their perception. You can help them change their behavior. And I think that's really important to have that awareness. How are you treating other people? Are you encouraging them? Are you being codependent? Are you reinforcing negative behavior? Are you rewarding positive behavior? And I'll be honest, at the end of that school year, I remember her dad got a job somewhere else, and they moved. So I don't know whatever happened to this young lady, but I can say that I have a really positive feeling that wherever she went, she made friends, and she did it in a positive way. I remember telling her, "Don't act like a dog again. Don't think that's how you're gonna make friends, because it'll probably just get you beat up." But she also didn't have to, because by this time, she'd built her confidence. She knew how to interact with me and the other few people that she hung out with. And I'm happy. I'm happy that we were able to show her different skills because she obviously wasn't getting it at home. They must have been reinforcing what she was doing or thinking she was just being creative and playing along. But that's not always the right thing to do. You know, I mean, if she was younger, under the age of 7, it might be okay because she's in her fantasy mind. But when you get a little older, you know, you have to learn to separate that fantasy and that play and that creativity from when you need to be focused. And I think that's a whole nother topic in itself, really, you know, which kind of goes into the topic of people who are called maybe schizophrenic or they hear voices. It's not really voices in their head. It's their own thoughts. It's how they perceive them. They're disassociated with them. So they perceive them as outside them coming in when it's their own thoughts. And they're not ignoring them, or they're not dealing with them, or they're not looking at, okay, what does this really mean? How should I break this down? How do I feel? What am I feeling before I get these thoughts? And if I could go back, I would love to ask that girl those questions. Like, how are you feeling right before you decide to act like a dog? Like, what is it that you're looking for? What is it you need? You know, I wasn't wise enough back then, I don't think, to ask those questions. And if I did, I don't remember. But I feel very, very grateful that I had a mother who told me to be nice. And I wanted to be nice. I didn't want to pick on this girl, but I'm glad I had the guidance so my mom could tell me how I should behave around her to help her, you know? And it was hard being the new girl in a new school, not knowing anyone, you know, but I guess at that point I didn't know anyone. So it didn't really bother me if people thought I was being weird or if they didn't like me because of it. And doing the right thing, I didn't get those negative results. I actually made more friends because people, I guess, gravitated towards the fact that I was nice and that I was a strong enough person that I put myself out there. Even though I don't think I saw it that way back then, it was definitely a lot of courage. I look back at it now and I realize that took a lot of courage. You know, it took a lot of courage to stand up for what I thought was right and stand up for somebody else. And I hope that's the message people take away from this, is when you're in a situation and you don't really understand it, don't be quick to judge. Don't be quick to laugh. Don't be quick to pick on other people. Just really think about, why do you think someone's doing this? Why do you think they want to? And how would it make you feel if situation was reversed? And do what's right in your heart, what feels right, what feels good. And I think you'll get positive results, you know, from the people around you, even from the people who were bullying you or who were teasing you. Because, you know, even in my old school where I was picked on, I always stood up for myself. You know, I did ask for help. I did tell people what was happening. And I think that's really important too, because I feel like maybe that gave me some kind of support that if I tried to ignore it or deal with it by myself, I may not have known how to do that correctly. And so I think that's important too. You know, try to get to an understanding. Like, I found out later, my bullies didn't have a very happy home life. And which is really unfortunate. But it made sense. You know, at least it told me it wasn't me. You know, they were acting out towards me. But if it wasn't me, they would have been picking on someone else. They would have, you know, I was kind of shy. I was kind of quiet, you know. So maybe I was easy to pick on, but to a point. But I think that experience gave me the courage and the strength and the wisdom that when I went to the second school and I saw this girl being picked on, I knew it, I didn't like it. I knew it didn't feel good. I knew I wasn't going to be part of it. I knew I wasn't going to just sit around and let it happen. And I also knew the only one who could change that behavior was her. But I gave her the opportunity to. And I think that's the important part. Sometimes you just have to give other people the opportunity to do what's right and show them how to do it. You know, I didn't bully her into it. I'm just like, hey, you're welcome to hang out. You're welcome to play. You can come talk to us. You can come sit with us. You can have lunch with us. But not if you're acting like a dog. So it's your choice. I gave her a choice, which I think is really important because for changes to be solidified in the subconscious mind, you have to make a choice. You have to consciously make a choice, and then you have to make that your new habit, your new program, and vice versa. For her new skills to be the program, she had to make the choice to get rid of the old skills. And that's something me nor anybody else could have done for her. But yeah, that was kind of a crazy story. And it's all true. It's kind of interesting to look back and see how many experiences I've actually had that really can relate to what I'm doing now. It really makes me believe it's crazy, but there is a process, there is a plan. You know, being bullied helped me understand both sides. And being the one to help someone who was being bullied felt good. And because I understood the other side, I was able to reciprocate and help somebody else. Like someone helped me once. And that, I think, maybe that's the meaning of life. Maybe that's what we're here to do, is not just improve ourselves, but help others, help improve others through our own experiences. So, anyway, hope you enjoyed that story. As entertaining as it was, there's a lot of lessons in that one. And yeah, so please communicate without hate. Keep loving one another. Love yourself. And again, my name is Dawn. I'm with Advanced Life Coaching. I'm a hypnotherapist and life coach. You know, I want to help heal the world, you know, and that starts with healing yourself. And I think it's really important that we show a lot of kindness to one another, no matter what the circumstance. Just always be kind, you know, follow your intuition, follow your heart. And you can find my podcast on Be Fa well, on Spotify. It's under Be Fabulous Wellness Coaching. And my YouTube page is Advanced Life Coaching and advancedlifecoaching.com, or I'm sorry, advancedlifecoaching.org is my website. And please like, share, subscribe, you know, really be part of my community and help me so that I can keep giving better and great information out to you. Have a fabulous day.